I speak to you in God's holy name. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, God the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Today our focus is on listening and then speaking. Listening and then speaking. I'm involved with a group, and maybe others of you have heard about it, called Nonviolent Communication. And I began to be involved in that during my ministry in prison, where it's important for people to learn to listen very carefully before they speak. And nonviolent communication is based on the idea that we should take out the verb to be from our vocabulary. Should, must, all of those kind of judgmental words, because we often spend our lives feeling judged. And part of the way of getting to be inclusive and restorative is to learn to listen. And I'm always reminded that God gave me one mouth and two ears, and I'm supposed to listen twice as hard as I talk. And I think it's an important thing to remember. And Eli, in the reading which was first read to us this morning by Ron, was challenging Samuel to listen. And then finally Samuel learned to listen and said, "Here I am, Lord." And we have a sense of listening to God. You know that in our services we have moments of silence. The moment of silence is not just to make a break between what we have just done to what we're going to do again, but the silence is to listen to God talking to us. For God does talk to us in our hearts and in our minds all the time. But oftentimes we are so busy, we don't listen. And the challenge is to listen. To listen to God who is always there. One of the phrases used in the meditation program to introduce the meditation is to be still and know that I am God. And the idea is, you say that phrase a number of times, but shortening each time. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Those kind of steps of getting into a meditation, of being in touch with yourself and being in touch with God who is always there, to start to listen to what God is saying to us, calling to us, reminding us, challenging us, and empowering us to do. You may wonder what was going on for Paul when he wrote to the people of Corinth, which was our second lesson. And in that lesson, the people of Corinth was basically a Greek area. And the Greeks still at that time had, as a part of their worship, they had a very earthy kind of sexualized worship. And the Christian message that Paul had brought to the people of Corinth was that you don't have to have this kind of sexualized worship, but you can have a worship which is spirit-centered and being connected with God. And don't get picked up by the ways of the world around you. You don't have to go into temple prostitution. You don't have to get involved in this way. We are called to something greater. And Paul was saying to them, don't let the values of the world overtake your Christian values. Your Christian values are to be in harmony with the teachings of Jesus. And he was warning them to listen to the messages of the gospel instead of listening to the messages of the world in which you find yourselves. Unfortunately, the way this reading has been used over time, out of context, has been very shaming for a lot of people, especially teenagers. But that's not what the design of it was. It was really designed to say in a forceful way, listen to God. don't always just listen to the values of the world around you. And then we come to the gathering of Jesus' disciples as John today spoke about it. Nathanael was a person who was well educated and was an Israelite. And he was quite broad in his education. In fact, this is an indicator that Nathanael probably had some understanding of Buddhism. And that, well, as the Buddha sat under a tree, so had Nathanael sat under a fig tree. And when they introduced Nathanael to Jesus, all of a sudden Jesus was able to tell him, I know you are a person of education and wisdom. Because before that, Nathanael had been demeaning to Jesus. He said, what good can come out of somebody from Nazareth? It's like saying, what good can something come from a person from Fogo, Newfoundland? Or some kind of derisive comment that we've used in our own country over time. But Jesus got beyond that. He didn't get triggered by that. And he said, ah, I saw you sitting under a fig tree. And when Nathanael heard that, he realized that Jesus had great wisdom and great understanding. And Nathanael himself then made his comment that Jesus was Messiah. He started to listen rather than just talk. And that's how it is for us in 2018. We're in a time in which there's a lot of social breakdown from what we may have grown up with and become accustomed to. These are good, positive norms for our society. We always used to say we listen to our elders, we have manners, we hold the door, we say thank you, we say excuse me. But those kind of mores seem to be breaking down. And instead of that, we have people making derisive comments. And even worse, it used to be in our country that we let people be who they are and not try to judge them. Recently in Toronto, I heard of a case where somebody attacked a Muslim woman for wearing her headscarf and tried to pull it off her and try to cut it off her. What is that about? That is not the way of Christians. That is not the way of our society. That is not what Jesus would do. We are always challenged to not get sucked up and drawn into the whirlpool of what's going on in our society. We are called always to keep before us centrally the light of Jesus Christ. We are called to keep the light of Christ alive within us. And that to practice that same kind of inclusive, restorative, inclusive love of Jesus. And not to get caught up in the torrents of the world around us at the moment. It is a challenge because sometimes people masquerade these activities saying, I'm protecting the Christian way. Well, I'll tell you something. If some human has got to protect God, your understanding of God is pretty darn weak. God is awesome and way beyond anything that I can do or can anyone else. God is the creator of the universe and does not need our kind of support. Our gravitating to that to say, I've got to put down Islam, or I've got to put down Judaism, or I've got to put down Buddhism, or whatever, or people who are First Nations or pagans, all of that is ridiculous and would never be supported by Jesus. We are called to love. We are called to be lights in the darkness. So what about us today in 2018? Are we going to get sucked up in what's going on around us by the current culture of the day? Or are we going to keep our focus on being the people of Jesus? We have to listen to Jesus. We have to listen carefully to the Scripture, remembering that Jesus sat with the outcasts, sat with the sinners, sat with the strangers, sat with despised people, and loved them. And we are called also to do that. So don't allow what's going on around us to weaken our resolve to follow Jesus Christ. Don't let that that's going on around us tempt us to follow suit with the crowd. We are called to be the lights of Jesus Christ in the darkness. Not just speaking about Jesus, but living the way that Jesus would have us live. Of being inclusive, caring, loving, forgiving. We have to listen to the stranger and hear the truth that the stranger is saying to us. It is a challenge. And I pray today, as you receive the sacrament, that sense of the Jesus alive within us, the Holy Spirit being with us, to empower us to stand as Christian people, progressive Christian people, alive on a journey with Christ our Savior. May God bless us all. Amen.